You're listening to The Latest Development, a brief dive into the latest product releases on Solana. Each episode features a protocol team on to talk about their latest releases and how they work. We talk tech in plain English. And this week, we've got Steve from Triton One to talk about Fumarole and more things Triton One. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, more than welcome. So why don't you give the people an idea of what it is you do for Triton One?
So I've been with Triton One for 1.5 years. I'm the business developer, the only one for Triton, and also the chief vibes officer. I make friends and they use our stuff. So yeah, I think I have the best job in the world.
Nice. Well, you made me as a friend, so you must be doing something right.
Thanks.
Not that I've become a client, but anyhow.
Not yet. There we go.
All right. What's Triton One's role in the ecosystem for anybody unaware?
So Triton One is, if you put it, you know, really bluntly, is a RPC provider, but we do a lot more. The three original founders of Triton One were also three of the original validators that helped Anza Labs, which was called Solana Labs before, do their dry runs before mainnet beta. So we have a close relationship with Solana and with the Solana Labs or Anza Labs now. We are also a validator on the network. We serve data at really low latency and really high throughput. We're also one of the wormhole guardians, meaning that we manage the interoperability mechanism for communicating between chains. We're guardians for some exchanges. So we fulfill many roles. We're also the author and maintainer of the whole Yellowstone Geyser suite, which means that we wrote an open source, one of the most staples or the most used developer tools for Solana.
Epic. You guys also do validator as a service too. So for teams that want to run their own client to get rewards, if they can accrue the stake, they can come to you guys for that, right?
True. Yeah. So good time to plug our the Greed Validator. So the Greed Validator was like a social experiment, which grew into, I think, one of the best education platforms on Solana. And their funding and learn to earn rewards are made by the validator that we run for them. So yeah, huge shout out to them.
Nice.
We have our own validators. We run some private validators. So yeah,
a lot. Love that. Also love the Greed Academy, love Voshi and the gang. Daniel, they're doing a great job. So kudos as well. Credit where credit's due. Why don't we back up a tiny bit and can you explain RPC and then maybe explain why that infrastructure matters?
Yeah. So RPC is short for remote procedure call, which is like boomer speak for calling data from a server. So Solana or any blockchain really is a really big database. So you've been around on Solana. When was your first transaction ever?
Would have been from FTX onto Solana in maybe late 2020.
All right.
Or early 20. Yeah, probably late 2020.
So if you want to look up that transaction on SolScan or in a wallet, you have to search the entire database, which is Solana, which is, you know, half a petabyte, which is 500 terabytes. So that's raw data. That's not a movie. That's not games. That's like zeros and ones. And somewhere in that whole data stack, there's that one transaction you're looking for. And what the RPC node does is we do many things, but for instance, you need a specialized service to look for that single transaction. So we can stream data in real time as Solana is being written by, you know, keeping track of what transactions are happening on chain, what account states are changing. We serve that data in real time. We serve historical data to whoever needs it. So any interaction with the blockchain is recorded, and that data is served by RPC nodes. So whether you're looking for your balance in your wallet, when you open your wallet, the wallet makes a remote procedure call to the current state of your public key. And then we return all the information associated with that public key. So all token accounts, the amount of Solana that you have, how many Fartcoin you have, which NFTs are associated with your wallet. And then we return that data really fast. So if you open your wallet app, you see the data, and that's through us.
Awesome. And your guys' main thing is like, it's business to business. You empower businesses that are helping consumers with whatever it is, whether that's high frequency on-chain trading, or as you said, NFT minting, all of that.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. I guess that's a good time. Tell me about Fumarole, because Fumarole is obviously an iteration or innovation on previous models where you've learned from mistakes and are now implementing this.
Well, it's not necessarily mistakes. It's the thing with streaming is, so as I said before, we stream data in real time. So anything happening on Solana, you can look up through a Geyser interface called Dragon's Mouth, which is also part of the Yellowstone product line that we have. So think of it as you're watching TV and you're watching a soccer match or a football match, whatever. As soon as you accidentally turn off the TV and turn it back on, you've missed some data. And that's what happens when you get disconnected from Dragon's Mouth, which is the Geyser stream. So for teams who keep track of everything happening on Solana, it becomes problematic if they get disconnected and then aggressively reconnect, but they don't know what data they're missing. So the upside of watching TV like that, or watching the match in real time, is that you know everything that's happening when it's happening. So we call that low latency. So for instance, a trader is waiting for something to happen on chain so he can, in reaction, place a, you know, order or make a trade that's profitable for him. So he requires low latency, otherwise someone else will make that trade before. But if you're, for instance, indexing everything that's happening on chain, so if you're a portfolio management platform, or you're a tax recording company, then missing that data becomes really problematic, especially if you don't know what you're missing. So what Fumarole does is it ensures that it has all data that's happening. So it takes multiple sources to take the same information, to make sure that there's nothing missed. Then it puts that into a caching layer. It deduplicates all the duplicate data. And then the team or the user can subscribe to a streaming service called Fumarole using a consumer group. So if you're watching TV, you turn off the TV and turn it back on, you don't know what happened in the meantime. With, for instance, a streaming service like YouTube, if you click away the screen and then open the screen again, then YouTube knows what second you were on when you close the screen. So you consume that as a consumer group. And the upside is that you can pick up where you left off. So whenever you lose connection, due to bad connectivity or your node freezes or whatever happens, Fumarole knows where you left off. So you can start your server and then start streaming from where you left off. So you got time to catch up back to the tip of the chain.
Good analogies. That actually makes it really clear. And so if I catch up, or I come back where I left off, does it also, like, you're able to speed up into the future? Like you said, back to the tip, because obviously you don't want to be operating when you're trying to catch trades in the past.
Yeah, exactly. But for some teams, it's important to record everything that ever happened on chain. So they are able to pick up where they left off. So yeah, running back to the front of the data stream. So a good analogy here, or a side note, is that let's say my mother is cooking me dinner and I'm eating it and eating it and eating it. So if she's cooking faster than I can eat it, there's going to be a backlog of food that needs to be consumed. The same happens for receiving servers oftentimes. So if you're looking to parse or process, 1 gigabyte per second worth of data, and we stream it into your server at 2 gigabytes per second, so you're subscribing to everything multiple times, then your node is going to start, or your server is going to start pushing back. And this is something we sometimes have to deal with, that our customers are not using performant enough machines to catch up on all the data. So for those people that have these issues, maybe check if your bandwidth is enough, if your server is performant enough to be able to process all that data, because Solana produces massive amounts of data. So if you need to catch up again, you also need to have process more data than Solana is producing. So yeah, that's a good side note there, I think.
How long did Dragon's Mouth take to develop? I'm just curious to get an idea for how long these things take to build. I know you guys must be early on Solana, so what, 2020? And then, how long did it take to get Fumarole in production?
Yeah. Well, since before Solana. I'm not sure about how long it took to develop Dragon's Mouth. I wasn't there for it. I only started. Yeah. So I can check probably, and you can put it, in the comment section somewhere. But it takes months, up to more than half a year to think of a product, design it, program it, deploy it, redo the whole thing. So we're going to start a second beta soon. But you also need customer feedback. You need to apply that feedback before you have a working product. And it's never finished. There's still new operating system versions coming out for any, computer. So yeah, it's never finished. There's always room to optimize. We're still increasing the performance of Dragon's Mouth. We're still working on creating better versions of Agave, the Solana client.
I guess that's something I kind of said wrong. I said, what mistakes had you guys made that you wanted to innovate on? And that's sort of the wrong way of talking about it. It's like, with Solana, with any of these open source projects, especially, you build, you iterate, people add on to them, they think of better solutions. And so it's about iteration, not about mistakes. So yeah, I want to correct that.
Yeah, and it's also, it's a different product. If you're a high frequency trader, you don't want to use Fumarole because it adds, up to 3 slots of latency. So what is happening in the worst case scenario? So what is happening on chain, and then 1.2 seconds later, the data becomes available for Fumarole. But since it's mostly for indexing purposes or for teams that don't require low latency, it's the same amount of time it takes for a transaction to go from processed when it's ingested to confirmed when it's voted on by other validators. So if you're using a confirmed process level, we call it, so you're waiting for, you know, all the validators to vote on something that was written on chain, like, hey, this is valid, there's no forking going on, you know, it's equally speedy. But for low latency, I would not recommend using Fumaroll. It's different products. You wouldn't go move your best friend with a Ferrari, and you would not, you know, drive a moving truck into a Formula One race. So yeah, different products.
I see. So I thought that Fumaroll was an iteration innovation on top of Dragon's Mouth, but it's actually that you're just building two separate products.
Yeah, exactly. But the good thing is that, you know, teams who are already using Dragon's Mouth but require something that's, you know, more more available or more persistent, they really need very little code changes to switch from Dragon's Mouth to Fumaroll. So yeah, we spend a lot of time to ensure, you know, that, you know, there's quality of life there and ease of use.
Do teams need to go to testnet to try these out, or done on mainnet? How does that work?
No, I would. Yeah, you can do mainnet switching. You can use both services while, you know, switching over. You could use both, you know, Dragon's Mouth to populate any database that you have, and then have Fumaroll do a do-over when it's ready. So that way you can source whatever you want in low latency, what you can, and then later on have high reliability on not missing any data. So yeah, you could do anything you want.
Nice. All right, tell me a little bit about the initial beta feedback. How's the testing going?
So the first beta, we only deployed infrastructure in Europe, and we had a lot of teams from outside Europe that wanted to try it, but were unable to because, the connectivity is not good enough between the continents. So they had really bad experiences. We need to deploy in more locations firstly. But other than that, the first beta went all right. But yeah, we made it easier to use the second version.
Are there any new applications that are unlocked because of Fumaroll? Like any new types of product builds that you see could come about?
No. So I don't think so. So Solana's data has always been available, either through, you know, downloading full epochs and keep them in storage. And, you know, data is also available on the go through Geyser and WebSockets. So there's not necessarily new applications. It's just that you can make existing applications easier to build because you have high reliability on the data. So where teams used to have several sources of truth, streaming Geyser from multiple providers or having multiple RPC nodes, which is pretty costly for Solana, you can just subscribe to a single subscription, which is Fumaroll, which is really scalable. So it's going to be fairly cheap as well. I don't have the pricing for it yet, but it's going to be a lot cheaper than getting multiple dedicated nodes for the same data that you're receiving. So it's an improvement in both. It's an improvement in cost-effective streaming of data. I think that's the. So new applications, no. Will there more people be able to build on Solana, build the products that they envision or want with, you know, less starting capital?
Nice. Not about new technology per se, but more open and accessible pricing.
Yeah. So it's going to enable more builders to build awesome Solana products.
All right, Steve, as we get closer to wrapping this up, what do you got for advice for Solana builders out there?
So if you're building something, you know, make sure that you're in contact with other builders. Go to networking events like Mountain DAO, Island DAO, meet up with fellow builders. Everything gets done much faster. Look what's already available. Like, a lot of people always say, oh, I'm not going to open source my stuff because people will steal my stuff. But, you know, there's a lot of open source builders like Trident One that build open source so you can steal it or use it. A lot of people use their own fear of, you know, doing work for others as a like a guiding tool, like, oh, there's probably not already something available that I can build on. So yeah, check what's already available. And if you have an idea of what you want to build, but not sure how or what you need, just, you know, reach out, fill out the contact form on our website. I'll reach out and think alongside you what you could do in terms of infrastructure.
Solid advice. You heard the man. Get out there, go to the build houses. Network and make connections, get that shared experience, build open source if you can. Steve, thanks for coming on to the latest development. We appreciate your time, buddy.
Most welcome. Thanks for having me. And yeah, it was really great. Love the experience.